Hi everyone, Kelly here. Just to let you know that this podcast was recorded before the postponements of Liverpool versus Leeds and Wolves versus Watford in game week 19 were announced by the Premier League. However, there's still loads of great FPL tips for you in today's episode. For all the latest game week information, keep an eye on fantasy.premierleague.com. Right now though, let's get on with the pod. From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. In the final podcast before Christmas, we look ahead to a Boxing Day FPL feast, as well as asking how we use the shiny new gift given to us by FPL HQ. Well, hello and welcome along to the official FPL podcast. Kelly Summers with you, full of festive spirit and also full of treats to hopefully get you through this busy period of deadlines. My first present to you this week is a stellar panel, if we do say so ourselves. It's football journalist Julien Laron.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
Hello. 2 weeks in a row, Jules, you must be doing something right. Then it's footballer turned broadcaster who's just returned from the holiday of all holidays that we're not remotely jealous of, Adrian Clark.
Yeah, hi all. Yeah, I'm really, really pleased to be back, honest.
I was half expecting you to join this podcast from the your sun lounger in the Maldives.
Honestly, I didn't have much else to do there. So I was right on top of my FBL game. So it was quite funny. But yeah, no, I wouldn't have done that. Just for the record.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all there, but I'm pleased to hear your FPL team is doing well. We'll talk about that in a moment. And after a strong debut, he's got the second call up. It's Fantasy Football Scouts, Az Phillips. Hi, Az, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a good sign if you've invited me back on. So I've done something right.
We'll keep you for now. Your rank isn't too bad. What are you now?
7K.
Oh, yeah, average, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
Could do better, basically.
Thank you guys for all being with us. Let's start with a game week 18 roundup. In the end, we did only have four matches. Saturday saw Arsenal continue their strong form with a win at Leeds. Gabriel Martinelli bagging for the second week in a row. If only one of our panellists had the foresight to anticipate that. 15 points for him. Joao Cancelo, though, was the game week's highest scorer with a huge 18 points. If only another of our panellists had the bravery to captain him. Not such good luck though for Phil Foden owners. He was an unused substitute whilst Bernardo blanked again. Clean sheets all round between Chelsea and Wolves whilst Mo Salah blanked for only the second time this season as Spurs and Liverpool drew 2-2. There were though goals for Diogo Jota and Andy Robertson. He did have an entertaining afternoon, if we can call it that, with a goal, assist and a red card. On the flip side though, Spurs looked reinvigorated as Harry Kane scored and so did Heung-min Son. It's not quite as much action, but from an FPL point of view, there was plenty for us to take away. Let's see how the panel got on and let's get it over with. The man who did see that Gabriel Martinelli hot streak coming was Mr. Az Phillips. Az, I think we're understanding now why your rank is so high.
Yeah, I'm just going to ride this the coattails of this, I think, for the rest of the season. Don't need to do much else. I'd love to say it was, you know, complete foresight and how much of a genius I am, but it's one of those ones where it was 50% luck, maybe more. I needed to free up some cash to bring in Foden. So I was looking at Brandon Williams, a Ben Johnson to Brandon Williams downgrade, which would have been very unexciting. Or I noticed Martinelli had started the last couple of matches. Aubameyang had the disciplinary problems. He was playing on the left, playing well. And it was just one of those ones where I had the money for him and I thought I'd have a bit of a punt on him as a fifth midfielder. I wasn't expecting, you know, 22, 23 points from him in 2 weeks. I thought he could chip in with a, you know, maybe one goal or a couple of assists or something. But yeah, that Leeds game was absolutely fantastic. He was electric. The biggest worry about him was whether he'd start all the time. And going into that Leeds game, he came off with cramp the sort of the week before and I thought maybe he wouldn't start, but when I saw him in the starting lineup, I thought he was in with a good shout of some points. So yeah, it's been really good.
I can't work out if that's the nod of approval or the eyes of envy from Adrian Clark, Mr. Arsenal himself.
It can be both.
Yeah, it's definitely both. Yeah. Do you know what? I think that Gabriel Martinelli really suits the way that Arsenal are playing at the moment. I don't know if you guys have noticed, they have got hostile all of a sudden. I've been banging on about it all season. If Arsenal are going to be successful, they've got to press really, really aggressively. And that's when he comes alive because you win the ball before the defenders are set. And because he's got that pace coming in from the left, he's absolute dynamite. So providing Arsenal continue to play in this way, I don't know whether he'll be left out because he makes such a difference.
He's so direct. That's what I liked about him in the Southampton match. He was just, you know, pegging the defender back over and over again. They couldn't get out of that position. And I think that's kind of what they lack a little bit with Aubameyang out of the team. And Lacazette's role's changed a little bit. He's operating a bit deeper now as well. And they need these players sort of pushing on and, you know, pushing past him. And Martinelli's perfect for that.
I said Mr. Arsenal. We've actually got two Mr. Arsenals on the podcast this week. Julien as well. I'm sure you're a little bit envious that you didn't have Martinelli. And you probably left rueing some of your other transfer decisions this week. Am I seeing this right? You took a minus 12 in the end.
Yeah, I had to. I had to because I brought in Matty Cash and Ramsey to play against Burnley. Matty Cash, we discussed him last week on the show. So good going forward, especially now that Gerrard is there, the good momentum for the team despite the Liverpool defeat, all of that. So I was really happy. And then that was made obviously before the game was postponed, and I was gutted, and I almost did not realize that the game was postponed when it was, etc. Because I was about to go on French TV. So then in a rush, I had to do something else. Because otherwise, I would have had only, five players playing or something. So in the end, I put Matip on, I think, and Foden. And little did I know that Phil Foden would be dropped by Guardiola as well for the game and blank completely, 0 points. So it was all really bad, apart from the Cancelo vision and the captaincy.
Yeah, 45 points, though, after your minus 12. I think that could have been a lot worse. Captain Cancelo has certainly changed it. Do you know what? Fair play, actually, for being bold enough, because every week on this podcast, we talk about being braver with the captaincy, and it has certainly paid off. Hold on a sec, though, Jules. I don't think you told us that last week on the podcast, did you? So when did you decide that?
So remember on the pod last week, I said twice I had picked Trent over Salah.
Yeah.
And that worked out well, because every time he got more points than Salah. And Lee especially was like, oh, that's brave to, you know, to bet against Mo. You should not do this. And I was like, okay, fair enough. And then I was at the Liverpool Villa game, and he looked a bit tired. He scored and got the penalty and scored the penalty. So still scored. But I was like, you know what? And the back five of Spurs, I had a bad feeling for Salah. And being at the game, especially after seeing Cancelo doing so well, I was like, please, Mo, please be quiet today, be quiet today. I just think that he's looking some signs, he's showing signs of tiredness. And certainly in that Liverpool game, you could tell that he was a bit off his game. That's why I went for Cancelo. I thought Newcastle, they're not going to concede, and he's very likely to do something offensively again.
A very, very good call. He's getting a thumbs up from Az, Mr. 7K.
That's my Christmas present, Az. Thank you.
Now, Adrian, as for you, you said that you had lots of time when you were on your holidays to sort your FPL team out. 43 points for you. Not the best score, but you too were affected by that late Villa postponement.
I was, yeah. I brought in Ollie Watkins, like many, many people, I think. I was devastated when that game got called off, and I just didn't have time to change it. Well, actually, as it turned out, I did have time to change it. It would have cost me another transfer, but yeah, I was working on the radio at the time, and it wasn't until 3:58 when someone WhatsApped me to say, The deadline's been extended. I realised I could make a tweak, and I'm on the radio.
They're the kind of friends you need, aren't they?
I'm supposed to be talking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that was very handy. But I wish they'd done it 10 minutes earlier when it was the ad break. And I got the page up while I was talking on the radio, and I was filling around, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. This is bad. And I ended up just accepting my fate. So yeah, it's just the way it goes. But yeah, we need to. Yeah, I'd have liked a bit more notice.
Talking of rankings, let's check in with our FPL Public Mini League and see how you guys are getting on. A reminder, if you do want to join the league, the code is 1KIKS7. No change at the summit, with Sani Siddiqui still holding first place. Big congratulations to someone who is clearly another big Arsenal fan with this team name, Thierry Henry, who has broken into the top 10 with a massive 84 points. Now, though, with Christmas fast approaching, let's talk more about that rather exciting gift we received news of earlier this week. On Wednesday this week, FPL HQ announced all FPL managers will be given an extra chip. Yes, really, as FPL said themselves, we've all had to deal with a lot of uncertainty. So managers will be given one extra free hit chip to be used from game week 20, which is a round of fixtures starting on the 28th of December. So that's just next week. That will allow us significant changes to a squad for a single game week without suffering a points hit. Oh, Jules, I bet you wish you had this last week. So unlimited transfers for 1 week only with your team, then returning to how it was before for the following game week. Just remember, activate the chip once you've made your changes. Do also bear in mind, you will not be able to use the chip in consecutive game weeks if you already have your first existing free hit chip. And it doesn't have to be used over the festive period. It can be saved for later in the season. So there was plenty of excitement when this news broke earlier this week. How does this change our thinking, do you think, as FPL managers, Adrian?
Oh, how does it change our thinking? It gives us more options, doesn't it? I think that if there are more postponements and they're having to fit in games here and there, then there will be more double game weeks, and also the possibility of a week of midweek fixtures solely from the postponement games. Now, that would be really interesting to me, because I would prefer to use my free hit in a week where there's only four or five fixtures. It might be on an FA Cup weekend, of course, where the Premier League continues with four or five games. That is where I would like to use my free hit chip moving forwards. And to have two is an absolute bonus, really. So yeah, I'm chuffed to bits about this one.
Yeah, Az has also got a big smile on his face as well. This just eases the pressure, doesn't it? After, as FPL said in their article on the website, after what has been a lot of uncertainty over the last few weeks.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people who've already used their free hit chip are going to be the happiest, because they've basically got a get out jail free card for if something like last week happens again. And I think the decision comes down to whether you want to be aggressive with it and you want to do what Adrian says and kind of attack these doubles. We're probably going to see at least one big double game week that we can, you know, not have to plan for and not have to bring in loads of players, and we can literally just use the free hit chip to target it. Or we can save it, keep it in our back pocket, and if something, you know, does happen again and there's more postponements, then you've got a way to react to that. So it'd be interesting to know whether people sort of go down the route of using it quite early and quickly, and whether they regret it a bit further down the line, or whether the patient people are rewarded.
What would you recommend? What's your thinking at this point?
I think if you've got two, you can kind of do a bit of both. You can use one to be aggressive and one to kind of keep and save till later in the season. I think particularly if we see a big double game week coming in the next, you know, month or so, or in the next few weeks, I think that's going to be the easy target to use, because we can just bring in players that we like and not have to worry about losing value on players that we drop. So I think I'll definitely be using it in the next month or so.
I saw you post on Twitter that although there was a lot of excitement around this chip, you know what's coming here. For you, it's caused you a bit of a headache in the past, hasn't it?
Well, I completely agree with Adrian. I like to use it in a blank game week when there's few games, because you know you're going to get points. You know you're going to benefit from it, because you know you might have two or three players, and then you've gone up to 11. So you know you're gonna get more points than you would have got. I used mine a few seasons ago in game week 38 on the last day of the season, and my pre-free hit team would have got 15 more points, and I would have nestled nicely in the top 10K.
Oh, so, Merry Christmas.
So yeah, I'm a bit bitter about the free hit chip, but it is one of the best ones.
It's definitely one of the most fun ones, isn't it? Because you can literally have all of those players that you're longing for. And Jules, do we also have to consider the teams that will have double game weeks? As of yet, they are unconfirmed, but of course Tottenham and Burnley have three matches to rearrange, and there's two games in hand for Brighton, Manchester United, Leicester, Brentford and Watford.
Yeah, no, definitely I agree with the boys. And also I think that has, you know, last weekend was such a big shock, I think, for a lot of us, that let's hope that it doesn't happen again. But in that case, you've got that extra free hit that you can use. And we discussed it last week, remember, and we were all in agreement that maybe the free hit was not to use for last weekend. But if that was to happen again in a few weeks or something, then at least now that we've got two, we know that we could do that and use one. And like I said, keep the other one to be more aggressive maybe later in the season.
And also, this could help us as well, Adrian, couldn't it, with the fact that the African Cup of Nations in January, we've all got a lot of players, a certain Mo Salah, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's the only one, actually, that will affect my team as it stands. I'm not too, so in that regard, I'm not too worried. I think that what I might do when Salah goes is upgrade to Trent Alexander-Arnold at the back and to strengthen elsewhere just for those few weeks. But yeah, it gives you options. And I guess if you're going to have a free hit or a wild card even, then yeah, you probably would be avoiding the AFCON players because they are going to miss a few games.
Well, talking of chips, you mentioned the wild card there, Adrian. Do not forget that if you've still got your first wild card, it must be used by game week 20, the deadline of which is just 48 hours after game week 19 on a Boxing Day, 11 a.m. That's also the first week where you can use that additional free hit chip. What luxury this is for those that have it. But how would you guys advise managers to structure their teams, given all of what we've just said, with the rearranged fixtures, the fact they know they've got the free hit in their back pocket? What a position as this is to be in.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's coming at a time when we've got some quite cheap enabler type players in our teams. We saw Ben Johnson come back for West Ham last night. You've got Martinelli now at sort of 5.3 million. You've got Jacob Ramsey as well, who Julian was talking about bringing in, who I think Gerrard's moulding into quite an attacking player in the system that he's got. So if you are building your wild card team, there's no reason not to have a team of everyone playing. You know, you haven't got to have really expensive players in every position, but it means that you can have a full squad, which is really important sort of going over into this winter schedule. And then it's a case of just getting in the main guys and trying to make your team a little bit different. I think everyone's got Salah, everyone's got Trent. You're looking at probably a Chelsea defender with James, and Cancelo is obviously really popular. And it's about trying to find those kind of hidden gems. A bit like Martinelli. If you can find the next Martinelli, you're doing well.
It's a shame we don't have one of those buzzers that every time he mentions it, I can press it.
You keep teeing me up, Kelly. It's not my fault.
No, I was going to bring it up if you didn't, to say that it is players like Martinelli. Who else would you put in that category, Jules? Who else should managers be looking at outside of the main players?
Yeah, we talked a lot about Ramsdale, and again, that's my Martinelli.
Yeah, we need a buzzer for Martinelli. That as well.
Yeah. I think full responsibility exactly as for Ramsdale. Not the most expensive goalkeepers, but certainly the one that has brought a lot of point in already if you brought him early. So I agree with everything I said. It's like trying to find those players. Conor Gallagher was another one. Now he's very popular, of course, but if you brought him early, you know, that was another good vision. So trying to find those and who's going to be on form now and put that in your team.
Well, we talked before, didn't we, Adrian, about the teams that are going to have these additional fixtures. Surely that's something as well that managers with this wildcard will want to target those teams who are going to have at some point these double game weeks.
I think so, yes. Spurs are looking good, aren't they? It pains me to say it. Son's a good pick, clearly. I want to get him back in my team if I can. Eric Dier, who's been over-bigged up, I think, by Antonio Conte, but he's relatively cheap at 4.5, going to play every week. They're picking up a lot of clean sheets. But Manchester United would probably be the team most on my radar. One or two players. You've got Varane coming back from injury. Not too many players have Varane in their side. He's a bit of a differential, and Rangnick already has two clean sheets out of two, and I think he will sort them out in terms of their sloppy off the ball work. And the other one is Telles, who's in the team at the moment. Fullbacks are really, really important in this narrow 4-2-2-2 formation, and he's in ahead of Luke Shaw at the moment, and not too many people have Telles. So there's a couple of names to chuck into the mix.
Okay, so we've got an extra free hit chip. The panel are saying potentially use it for those reduced game weeks or keep it for the double game weeks. And with your wildcard squads, also target the double game weeks and make sure you've got plenty of starters. And if you can, do what Az did and spot the next Gabriel Martinelli. Time now, though, to look ahead to some of the fixtures coming up in game week 19. The deadline for game week 19 is Sunday the 26th of December at 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes before our two early games, Liverpool taking on Leeds, a game the Reds won 4-3 last year with a Mo Salah hat-trick. We wouldn't mind more of the same, please. Wolves versus Watford is the other early game. Then there's 5 at 3 p.m, Burnley, Everton, Norwich against Arsenal, City host Leicester, Spurs take on Palace and West Ham welcome Southampton. Then Aston Villa versus Chelsea is at 5:30, Brighton versus Brentford is then at 8 p.m, for the game week concludes with Manchester United visiting Newcastle on Monday night. As always, our panel have been tasked with focusing on one particular game each. Adrian, which has taken your fancy this week?
Oh, it definitely has to be the first one. Liverpool Leeds for me. I saw Leeds against Arsenal and they were not good tactically. They were all over the place at the back. And the man marking setup with the fringe players having to step in just isn't really cutting it. And if Arsenal can create as many shots on target as they did in that game, obviously it was a Premier League first half record, wasn't it? 11 shots on target before the interval. Then what can Liverpool do to Leeds United in this game? That's the question I would ask. So I would load up on Liverpool attacking talents if you can. I've got Jota and Salah. Very happy about that. I've made a change already. Tsimikas is coming in for Robertson, who's suspended for 3 games. So Tsimikas, a very attack-minded fullback. I think that he can score points in this game too. So yeah, load up on Liverpool attackers is the message I think here. It's a game where I see goals.
As when Adrian mentioned there, Tsimikas, you smiled and you nodded in agreement. If managers don't have 3 Liverpool players, is that a good way to go? He's priced at just 3.7 million now.
Well, I smiled because I know that means Adrian hasn't got Trent. So it was a bit of a wry pity smile in his direction. But I think Tsimikas is good. It's tough because Trent, Salah and Jota are such popular and good options. It's hard to kind of fit Tsimikas in. But if you haven't got one of those, then I think Tsimikas is definitely the next best option going forward. I mean, he's down to 3.7 now, which I can't remember a player actually being cheaper than that. And he's almost certainly going to start the next 2 games. So yeah, I like him.
The reason why Az is probably shocked that you haven't got Trent, Adrian, maybe close your ears now. He's bettered Salah in 7 of the last 8 matches, aggregate win 74-58, and he's a bonus points magnet as well. He's got 3 in 4 games in a row. Why on earth haven't you got him?
Yeah, it all goes back to when I was doubling up with Ronaldo and Lukaku up front and having Salah. I sort of went big at the top end of the pitch and I went for Diaz, Thiago Silva and Matip, who's, and all of them have chipped away and all of them have given me pretty good returns, but not, sadly, at the level of Trent Alexander-Arnold. When Salah pops off to the AFCON, that's when I'll be bringing him in, I think.
And very quickly, Jules, you were bold enough not to captain Mo Salah last week. He blanked for the first time in 16 game weeks last time out. Diogo Jota, on the other hand, has scored in 5 of the last 7 matches. He's actually got the second most goals in the Premier League behind Mo Salah. Is he almost essential at the moment, or are we starting to get a little bit worried about his minutes with Roberto Firmino coming back?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. I think with Firmino coming back now, I think the rotation would be easier for Klopp until Mo goes to the AFCON, and then I think Firmino, Jota, and someone else Klopp will start all the time. So Jota will be very present in that team anyway. It's just for now until Salah goes away that maybe there's a little doubt, but I'm not even sure there's that little, because even if he doesn't bring you as much as Firmino in the game, in the way Liverpool played in terms of touching the ball and link up the play and all of that, this is what Firmino does best, and there's not many players in the world who are better than Firmino for that. Jota is just such a clinical finisher. In Spurs, he had one chance, which was not an easy one, and he scored it, and that was pretty much it. So it's tricky to get him out of your team if you have him. Salah, as we said, is obviously world class in our game. It's just that captaincy at times, I really find him tired. He looked tired, but Leeds is a fixture that usually does, as we said before, does really well in. So it's probably going to have to stay captain for a lot of us.
Yeah, well, we'll find out very shortly if Jules thinks that Mo Salah is still too tired to wear his captaincy armband in the final section. Let's move on now to our next fixture, Manchester City versus Leicester. You've been looking at this one, Az.
I have, and obviously it was 5-2 at the Etihad last season to Leicester. Bit of a shock result. Jamie Vardy hat-trick. This season, Leicester just cannot defend at all, so they're having to score more goals just to kind of get points on the board. And I think this could be a really good, really entertaining match, you know, with two top sides going head to head. And I think, you know, I'll talk about City in a sec, but I think with Leicester, it's maybe a bit easier to kind of know who to get in your side because you just avoid the defence altogether. Don't go near any of them. And then looking at tackers, I think Jamie Vardy, there's a bit of rotation now with Daka, and Iheanacho's there as well. So I'm not sure he's the best player to bring in. I'm looking at Maddison and Tielemans and thinking we've got two players there who are in a good vein of form at the moment, scoring goals, central to all the attacking play that Leicester do. Tielemans' stats are all up on last season. He's having double the amount of shots, half the amount of minutes it's taken him to have an attempt on goal. His goal conversion's up. So he's looking in kind of red hot form at the moment. And Maddison, I mean, three double digit hauls in four matches, scored again in the Carabao Cup last season. I think he's one to monitor ahead of Leicester's good run.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Leicester have been so up and down all season, but James Maddison really has emerged as a good option. What are you feeling about City at the moment?
Yeah, City's tricky. I mean, Bernardo Silva has regressed massively. I think De Bruyne in the team means he operates a bit deeper and isn't kind of getting into the same positions that we've seen him get into. I still like Phil Foden. I know that he's on the naughty step a little bit, as Julian said, but I think he's going to come back into the side. And when he plays, he's the one for me that is the most kind of the most dangerous looking when I see him. So I still like Foden. I think if you've got Bernardo Silva, you hold him, but I wouldn't be buying him.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the stats on the City players as and the expected goals in particular, expected goals per 90. Raheem Sterling is still the main man there in that regard, 0.52 expected goals per 90. The second highest player is really interesting because I've got him in my side and he's not fully delivered yet, but he's a streaky player, and that's Ilkay Gundogan. Mm. His expected goals is 0.49 per 90. Just ahead of Mahrez on 0.41. So yeah, he might not be the obvious choice, Gundogan, but he gets so many opportunities, doesn't he? It's just, will he play every week? That's the big question mark. But you could probably say that about any of the Manchester City players, Foden included.
In a way, I was relieved that there was a reason for Foden's absence and it wasn't just kind of rotation. Yeah, whereas I think we see Gundogan and Sterling getting rotated more in the side. I think Foden is part of like the strongest City side, and I still think Grealish on the left is Pep's kind of favoured position for him there. Gabriel Jesus on the right has been doing really well, and in central midfield, especially with De Bruyne coming back, I'm just not sure who's going to start each week. I think I prefer Gundogan to Sterling if I was going to pick one, but I still like Foden.
We're back where we were, or we have been so often with Pep Guardiola's side, aren't we? We all thought we had the nailed on starter, the best option in Bernardo Silva, and once again there feels like there's almost too many options. Would you suggest going for one or two City midfielders? You just have to punt on one as and then just hope that they play and enjoy their points when they get them, but have a strong enough bench to make up for them when they don't?
Yeah, I think City's great because you could get two and justify that. You could get one and stick with that, or you could get none and just not even bother with Pep at all and look elsewhere. So there's strategy to each. I'm happy with just one. I'm happy just to go with Foden and accept he's probably going to miss a couple of games, but they probably all are. If I was going to get two, then I'd probably pair Foden with Gundogan, like Adrian said. And you've got Cancelo as well. So most of us will be, you know, two anyway. It's just whether you want to use two midfield slots to get two City players. Because there's a lot of good midfielders at the moment. We haven't talked about Jared Bowen yet as well. I think, you know, West Ham have still got a good run of fixtures coming. And he scored last night against Spurs and looks really good too.
Well, that's the perfect segue because, Jules, I think you've been looking at West Ham, haven't you? They play Southampton this weekend.
Yeah, it's an interesting game because, I mean, West Ham have won two of the last seven against Liverpool and Chelsea, you know, and then they were really good in those two games, and the rest of the time it's been more difficult for them. I think they're suffering from Antonio's form, who's dipped quite massively. I think the fact that, as good as it is for him to be a Jamaican international, it takes a lot out of you in terms of energy and everything to go, you know, in every international break where he used to stay in London and train and rest. Now he has to travel, go and play with Jamaica. And he did really well in the last international break and scored in two games. But that takes a lot. I think it's all on you to go, travel, play, come back and play again and play every 3 days. And that's why I think his form hasn't been the same. Remember, he was also sent off in that reverse fixture against Southampton earlier in the season. But Southampton are all over the place. We said it defensively. They keep conceding goals. He keeps changing the back four, especially the two centre-backs, like Salisu or Benarek or Lyonko or Stevens or whoever. And I think the lack of stability plus the players that they are missing is a problem for Hasenhüttl and the way they're playing. So Moyes has never lost against Hasenhüttl. I don't think he will for this time. I think if you're looking for West Ham players, as mentioned, Bowen, really good form. He scored a great goal against Spurs in the Carabao Cup. He was really good against Chelsea, for example. He takes the pieces too. So there's a lot of good things about him. Antonio, like I said, I think it's a tough time for him. And then for Southampton, apart from Broja, I'm not sure who right now you should have faith in, really.
Mikel Antonio's situation is something, Jules, you'll know this from being on last week. It feels like we speak about it every single week. But with David Moyes saying earlier this week that he has tested positive for COVID, he's not sure if he's going to be back for this weekend. Does that kind of force managers' hands in terms of selling him now? Is now the right time to part company, do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely. And for his price, you will find some other really good alternatives. I mentioned Broja, who's a really good young player. The thing I like about him a lot, which might not be, I don't know, Adrian, what you think, but he's a very selfish striker, which you have to be. But there's a few times where I watch Southampton play and he can easily square the ball, but instead he tries a difficult shot. And a lot of time he will get blocked or he will miss, but also he will score. And I just really like that sort of very, very selfishness that he has, because I think he's going to shoot a lot and inevitably we'll have more chances to score. So Broja is a really good pick if you believe that Southampton will do something, but he's got something for sure.
Definitely. He's a proper goal muncher. He is. He's centre forwards have to be selfish, I think. And he's not afraid of that. I love his confidence for a kid that's just come into the side. I've got a good stat on Broja, actually, so I'm glad you brought him up. The most shots on target per 90 this season are Salah, Ronaldo, and then Armando Broja.
He's been doing great.
It's remarkable, really. It's 1.59 shots on target per 90. He scores goals at a rate of one every 155 minutes. He is an absolute bargain in FPL terms. I had him in my team. I shuffled the pack and got rid of him, but for sure he's coming back. I can't do it this weekend, but he has to come back in, because with that kind of strike rate, it's really appealing.
Yeah, exceptional value for money at just 5.1 million, two goals from his last three. Well, that concludes our fixtures in focus. Now let's move on to the long view. Well, Longview is arguably even more important at this time of year as the game weeks come thick and fast. In case you haven't joined us before, it's very simple. In this section, we use the fixture difficulty rating to assess which teams have favourable upcoming runs as well as those that don't. If you do want to check it out for yourself, head over to premierleague.com. So this week, the FDR says that Everton are top with Manchester United and West Ham close behind. We've spoken about those teams recently. Everton in particular were quickly dismissed by last week's panel. This week, we're going to focus on a team climbing up the rankings. We've touched upon them, Spurs, and their run really isn't too bad. Palace, Southampton, Watford. Then it's slightly trickier, Arsenal and Chelsea, and then Southampton as well, of course, as their postponed game weeks, meaning at some point they will also have doubles. Now, we hadn't seen them for a couple of weeks because their games were postponed due to COVID. But what did you make of Spurs? I'll come to you first, as the only non-Arsenal supporter on this podcast.
Yeah, I think it was a big point for Spurs against Liverpool. The performance was what we kind of expected from Conte coming in, and you know, it's taken him a while to get his tactics sort of drilled into the side, but there were so many encouraging signs for the likes of Son and Kane in that game. You just get the ball up to them as much as you can and let them kind of do the work, because they're the two sort of stars of the show. So Son is, to me, the jewel. He's down to about 16% ownership now. He's lost about 500,000 owners since, you know, all the blanks and postponements for Spurs. So I think now is a really, really good time to be getting onto him. I like Reguilon as well, at 5.2. I think the wing backs are crucial for everything Conte is trying to build with that Spurs side. And I think Reguilon's now a much better option than Emerson going forward as well, when it was a bit tighter between them maybe a few weeks ago. Jury's still out on Kane. I think he's still a lot of money to be paying. And I think I prefer Ronaldo at that price range.
You mentioned there the wing backs. Reguilon's certainly been very popular, or potentially Ben Davies a little bit cheaper, or even Eric Dier, because Antonio Conte's been talking him up a bit this week.
I just can't do it. I just can't. When we've got all these attacking defenders, I just can't bear to have a kind of someone like Eric Dier who just doesn't really get in the kind of, you know, attacking areas as much, and we're not going to get sort of the goals and assists from him. I think actually Ben Davies at the same price for 4.5 is the better option, because he bombs forward more, has more touch in the penalty area, more shots on goal. So if I'm going to pick one outside of the wing backs, I'd probably go for him.
Jules, as is saying no to Kane, you stuck with Kane for so much of this season, but then you fell out quite severely, didn't you? You run out of patience with him. Are you going to be jumping to get him back in, or have you been burnt too many times already this year?
No, I'm thinking about it. Exactly what I said after the Newcastle game, where he scored his first goal of the season. I said, this is it. Now, watch him. Watch him. He's going to score every week. Obviously, he didn't score between Newcastle and the Liverpool game. It's certainly in the league. And now, this could have a similar effect, I think, because of the next three fixtures that they have, Palace, Southampton and Watford. You could see him keep scoring. Then after that, it'll be Arsenal and Chelsea, so it might be a bit tougher, but certainly for the next three games. And that is that part of me, you know, he said he's like one of my sons, to be fair. So, like, I don't know. I'd be tempted until 11 on Boxing Day to bring him in. But I went for Ronaldo. I swapped him for Ronaldo, really. That's what I did when I lost patience. And I think I will stick with Cristiano for now. But there's always that thing with Kane. If or when he starts the goal-scoring run, it won't stop.
Going back to Kane against Arsenal, he always scores against Arsenal, so you should probably keep him in the team for the North London derby if you've got him, or bring him in even. The only caveat I'd say, even though the fixture list looks good for Tottenham Hotspur, is that think about what they're becoming under Conte. Unbelievable runners, aren't they? I mean, you've got them running, I think, 10-15k more per game. That suits matches like the Liverpool one, teams come at them. Now, if you're looking at an easy run of fixtures, Palace, Southampton, Watford, well, they're not going to give you as much space in behind because you're going to have the ball more often. So it's just a little cloud over Tottenham's fixtures. I wouldn't want to put anyone off because you would expect them to score goals. I love Son. I think he's a brilliant player and I'd like to get him back in my team. But yes, stylistically, this run might not be as good as you think.
Just one thing, the Watford game, I think, is maybe the game where they will look to attack because they can't defend either, similar to Leicester. So I think we might see quite an attacking game in that. And actually, in that game, that's when Liverpool play Chelsea. So I'm actually looking at Son and Kane and thinking they could be an alternative captain option that week.
Thanks for that, Az. You clearly don't want to add on your two appearances on this podcast. Very quickly, before we move on from Spurs, what about Dele Alli? Now, I know it was only one game, but plenty of praise from Conte and looks to be really thriving under the way that he wants them to play. Is he just one to watch at this stage? Do you potentially think, Az, if you can't afford a Kane or a Son?
Yeah, I mean, he's a real punt, I think. You know, we talk about trying to find the next Martinelli or Ramsdale. I think someone who's only played one game since game week 5, played 80 minutes against Liverpool, did look sharp in that game, was really unlucky not to score as well. At 6.2, I think, you know, you can make a case for it. I just think with the likes of Rafinha, with Bowen, with Smith Rowe still knocking around with Martinelli, there's other options I'd probably go to. But if you're feeling brave at 1% ownership, he could be a bit of a cheeky differential.
Bergwijn and Moura also played really well. They were the pick of the bunch, weren't they, against West Ham in that League Cup game. So they've sort of catapulted themselves into the mix. I'd definitely have a watching brief person.
It depends what system Conte goes with as well, because he switched to the two up top and we've seen Moura playing on the right before, which I think makes him an option. But if he's going to switch between the two formations, it makes everyone but Son and Kane a bit harder to predict who's going to start.
So potentially watch this space with Spurs, but they're very much on our radar then in the coming weeks, with Az even suggesting they could be captaincy options very soon, particularly with Watford on the horizon. Let's see if they feature in any of the panel's immediate plans, though, as we discuss their transfers and the captaincy for this coming week. Let's start with transfers then. Our panel have hinted, but time to see what their concrete plans are for game week 19. Jules, what are you thinking of doing? Are you going to maybe leave it a little bit closer to the deadline this week?
You know, I think I might not do anything. I was traumatized by last weekend, to be fair, and all the changes and all the extra points that I got. So I might not do anything. Broja, as we mentioned, is an interesting one. There's a few others. I need to see what Pep says about Foden in his press conference. We need to check on the players who are certainly the ones that will be made public about COVID and this and that. And then you adapt your team to that, because if Pep says Foden is not going to be involved again, or it's unlikely that he starts or whatever, then you think about it. But apart from that, I'm happy with the team. And then that means I could have two transfers for match day 20, which, because it's so close to each other on the Boxing Day 28, 29, etc. I think this is where you see managers would rotate. They will have to. You can't play two games in 48 hours for a lot of the players. So I think it'd be clever to keep your two free transfers for that match day 20.
Adrian, Jules is being very reserved. You've already made your one transfer, haven't you? Is that all you're doing this week?
It is all I'm going to do. I wanted to get in early once he came through unscathed from the League Cup tie. I wanted to get in early because I feel that quite a few people might jump on the Simicass bandwagon in the short term. 3.7 is just so cheap, isn't it? So I brought him in for Matip, actually, and it buys me extra cash because I've got three other good defenders that I can use long term. So, yeah, I've now got, I think, £2.4 million that I'm sitting on under my bed. So I am going to get that out after Boxing Day, I think, and splash out, probably upgrade somewhere else.
Cool, that's a nice position to be in, isn't it? As talking of nice positions, you're certainly in one at 7K. Do you feel you need to do anything this week, or are you happy with your squad going into game week 19?
No, sorry, so I'm going to be boring like Julian this week. No transfers planned for me. I'm going to be looking at Spurs and Leicester. They're the two teams I'm going to be targeting over the next few weeks. Maybe a Son, Regulon. I like Madison or Tielemans, as I mentioned. So a couple of those will be coming in. I've got Jimenez, who's got a good game this week, but then quite a tough run for Wolves going forward, and they're not scoring too many goals. So he's probably my weakest link that I need to address. But my bench is decent. King, Livramento. Good to see Johnson back. So, yeah, I'm pretty well set up, I think, for Boxing Day.
What about the captaincy then? This is often the shortest section of the podcast. Mo Salah did blank last week. And Jules, you were bold enough to go against him. Are you going to go against him for 2 weeks in a row?
I'm not sure. I think Cancelo is a great shot. And Trent as well, as you mentioned the stats, Trent has had more points than Mo Salah in the last few weeks, pretty easily as well. So I think there's a big case to be made for Trent or Cancelo to be your captain if you have them in your team ahead of Salah. And also, with all the fixtures coming, with the AFCON coming, I think it could be a lot of sort of distraction too for the players who will leave for the AFCON. Like, you know, you don't want to get injured before that tournament. It's a big tournament for them. It's very important. So I'd be very tempted to either stick with Cancelo or move to Trent and not put the captaincy on Salah.
Jules is not having Mo Salah at the moment. Adrian, what about you?
If Liverpool were playing anyone apart from Leeds this weekend, it would be a no-brainer for me to captain Cristiano Ronaldo at Newcastle United, because I too have one or two little reservations, but it's Leeds. And they were so, so dreadful at the back, and they have been throughout December, that you just think he's going to score at least two goals here, Mo Salah. So I'm genuinely on the fence here. One will be vice-captain, one will be captain. It's a 50-50 call. I'm actually tempted, because I want to make up ground on some other people, that to go with Ronaldo this week. I think there's a real temptation to do that, because Newcastle are just as bad as Leeds at the back, and you know that he's got the ability to rip them apart at St James's Park.
This has got to be a first. Two of three of our panellists saying they probably aren't going to captain Mo Salah. Az, what are you thinking?
Well, I will definitely be captaining Salah. So I'm afraid I've kind of ruined it a little bit. I like the Ronaldo shout. I think we saw with Spurs that, you know, when a team has a bit of a break, it can help them with the tactics. I know, obviously, it's not the break for the best reasons, but we saw a decimated Spurs side, you know, from all the COVID problems, come and put in a really good performance against Liverpool. So I'm expecting United to come out of the traps and perform really well against Newcastle. Whereas, as Julian said, Liverpool are a bit tired. They played again last night. They started with quite a weak squad, but, you know, ball on some first team players towards the end. Jota's an option for someone looking outside of Salah. I think Liverpool are going to score quite a few goals in that match, and it's probably going to be a bit of a lottery as to who comes out the top scorer out of Jota, Salah and Trent. So if you are looking for someone a bit different that I don't think a lot of people are going for, then it could be him. But yeah, it's Mo for me. The penalties, I think, just take him one step above.
What about your vice-captain, Az?
My vice-captain would be Ronaldo, for sure. And, you know, if Salah does miss out, then it's not exactly a bad player to have who can take the armband.
So Adrian mentioned that if he captains Ronaldo, Salah will be his vice-captain. What about you, Jules? Will you even give Salah the vice-captaincy?
Oh, yeah. He would be either one or the other, to be fair. And Cristiano, who I also have in my team, is the other option. So we'll have to decide late at the last minute.
He's doing it in the last minute this week after being burnt last week, aren't you?
Exactly.
Well, guys, as always, thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Good luck for the game week and happy Christmas. Your deadline for game week 19 is Sunday, the 26th of December at 11 a.m. The same to you listening. As always, our colleagues on the Premier League app and website will be beavering away to ensure there's plenty of FPL content for you to devour along with your Christmas turkey if you're celebrating. And we'll also be back with another podcast on Monday looking ahead to game week 20. Thanks for listening and we'll see you soon.